from Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org. I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. The Center for Reproductive Rights is suing the Trump administration on behalf of Maine Family Planning over Medicaid cuts. The federal budget bill Congress recently passed prohibits healthcare providers who also offer abortions from accepting Medicaid funds. Patty White reports.
The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court in Maine asks that funds be immediately restored so that Maine Family Planning won't be forced to turn away patients. Maine Family Planning operates 18 healthcare clinics across the state and serves 8,000 patients, half of whom are enrolled in Medicaid. With few exceptions, federal Medicaid funds can only be used to reimburse non-abortion services, such as cancer screenings, contraception, and testing for sexually transmitted infections. The organization says without emergency relief, up to half of their clinics are at risk of closing, and other providers won't be able to absorb patients. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Maine Senator Susan Collins was among three Republicans who voted last night against starting debate on President Trump's plan to claw back more than $9 billion from foreign aid and public broadcasting. Collins opposed moving the rescissions package out of the Appropriations Committee, which she chairs, and to the Senate floor. In a statement, Collins said she supports reducing wasteful spending, but she accused the Office of Management and Budget of failing to provide her committee with specific details about what programs are affected. Collins said she was pleased the administration backed off plans to cut $400 million from a global AIDS prevention program. But she added that, quote, excessive cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting would harm local programming and accessibility to popular programs. Independent Senator Angus King joined all Democrats in voting against starting debate on the bill. Maine's plans to meet its goal of using 100% clean energy by 2040 relies in large part on tapping power generated by offshore wind farms. But it's delaying its first offshore energy purchase, says President Trump's energy policy dims the industry's immediate future. Peter McGuire has more.
The state was supposed to issue its first solicitation for ocean wind power at the beginning of July, but the Public Utilities Commission agreed to extend that deadline indefinitely. Governor's Energy Office Director Dan Burgess says an extension is needed due to changes in the energy landscape causing, quote, significant uncertainty in the offshore wind industry. Maine wants to add 3 gigawatts of ocean wind electricity by 2040. The Trump administration has squashed future development of the technology in federal waters. Burgess says the state will watch the situation and wait until conditions improve to solicit a power deal. The contracting delay is another setback in Maine's offshore wind power goals. Earlier this year, a commercial developer suspended plans to build a test array of floating turbines for the state. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Canadian border crossings into Maine continue to fall. New data released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows crossings in June down more than 25% over 2024. 210,000 people entered Maine in June, down 90,000 from last year. Border crossings increased through December, but have consistently remained below last year's numbers since President Trump took office in January. Maine has seen an almost 30% decrease in Canadian visitors since January, a sharper decline than the rest of the country. Nationally, northern border crossings have dropped by closer to 15%. This comes as Governor Janet Mills has worked to reaffirm Maine's relationship with Canada and encourage tourists to visit. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says she's found no evidence to allegations by the state Republican Party that more than 50 people voted twice in last year's election. Bellows says an investigation by her office found that 11 of the names portrayed as being the same person were, in fact, different people. 19 people were recorded by their municipalities as voting twice, but actually voted just once. And 21 others were also confirmed as voting once after an administrative resolution process. One person, for example, was accused of voting twice, but voted in both state and municipal elections last summer, which are separate elections but held on the same day. Bellows says duplicate records are typically created after someone moves to a new municipality. She says state elections officials routinely review voter list records and remove duplicates. Caribou and Bangor are among 10 locations in the country that have experienced the most dramatic average temperature increases over the past decade, according to the National Centers for Environmental Information. It found that between 2015 and 2024, Caribou saw the second largest temperature spike in the U.S., with an increase of more than 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Bangor saw an increase of 4 degrees. Jessica Spaccio, a climatologist with NOAA's Regional Climate Center, says cooler places are warming faster than areas that are already warm, largely due to the lack of snowpack that insulates the ground from the sun's rays.
So we see like the winter in Maine warming a little faster than the summer, and also nighttime temperatures warming faster than the daytime temperatures.
Spaccio says warming will continue, but changes in weather patterns could occasionally disrupt that trend. Data from 215 locations across the U.S. were analyzed. The average increase nationwide was nearly 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit. A Harvard professor behind last fall's ballot initiative that limits donations to super PACs in Maine at $5,000 says his group plans to appeal a federal judge's ruling that blocks it. As Kevin Miller reports, these courtroom battles were always part of the group's larger strategy.
Lawrence Lessig says he wasn't surprised by the federal district court judge's decision, as courts across the country have struck down similar measures. Lessig, who teaches at Harvard Law School and founded the group Equal Citizens, argues that those rulings have been based on a misreading of the Supreme Court's 2010 decision in Citizens United. And he says the explosion of deep-pocketed super PACs since Citizens United makes this issue ripe for the Supreme Court. The next step in that process, he says, is the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston.
First Circuit's never considered the question. That was a great circuit, so I'm optimistic they will take the chance to look at it freshly and give us the right answer. And that's the case we need to win. If we win in the First Circuit, we will be in the Supreme Court. If we don't, it'll be a real fight to get to the Supreme Court.
75% of Maine voters approved capping donations to super PACs last fall, but two Maine-based PACs sued, saying such limits are unconstitutional restrictions on political speech. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Several Maine organizations are launching a rapid response fund to support immigrants and trans people in the state who they say are facing increased threats under the Trump administration. The Maine Solidarity Fund will help cover the cost of legal representation and bond payments for immigrants in ICE detention. Marfine Chan with the Cambodian community group Khmer Maine believes this approach will be more effective than individual fundraisers for each case.
Our communities can come together to raise money and pool resources and collectively make sure that our community members are taken care of.
Other organizations involved in the effort include Maine Transnet and Presente Maine. The goal is to raise $1 million over the next year and a half. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, disability and intimacy. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.